Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Life activists are hoping President Trump's signature on the federal budget bill will lead to the downfall of Planned Parenthood. The Republican-led spending blueprint denies access to Medicaid funding to organizations that commit abortions. While the legislation doesn't mention Planned Parenthood, it's facing deep cuts for at least a year, and it's nearly $800 million in annual taxpayer-provided subsidies. Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, is applauding the legislative effort. He spoke with Spotlight during a defunding demonstration near the giant Planned Parenthood in Aurora.
This is the culmination of decades of work by the pro-life movement. My entire career, I've been in the pro-life movement for over 20 years now. We've been fighting to defund Planned Parenthood for all of that time. They depend on this money. This is about half of their budget. And if they can't get Medicaid funds anymore from the federal government, they are going to be in big trouble. They're going to be shutting down abortion facilities all over the country. We were told for so many years that it would never happen. Not even the tiny little sliver of money that comes from Title IX. We thought that would never be, Title X, that would never be taken away. Well, it was in the first Trump administration, and it has been again. That's about $60 to $70 million. George W. Bush considered taking that money out. They were afraid to do it. We were told this would never happen. Our politicians would never have the guts. Well, they have the guts now, not just $70 or $80 million, but of $400, $500, $600 million. This is going to devastate that organization, and it's going to be a sign that if we keep working and we set lofty goals and we fight with faith, that we can win in the end, even if we're told it'll never happen. Same thing with Roe v. Wade. We were told that would never be overturned. Many of us didn't think it would, but it happened. We have to build on that now.
I've read that Planned Parenthood is actually receiving something like $792 million in taxpayer funding.
Well, Planned Parenthood gets money from both the federal and the state governments, and in some cases they may even get money from municipal or county governments. So it's a complicated system because oftentimes federal funds are provided to the states who then distribute those funds. So it's very complicated. The issue of defunding Planned Parenthood at the state level is going to be, you know, something we'll see play out, because the United States Supreme Court, in a case called Medina versus Planned Parenthood, just ruled on June 26th that the state of South Carolina can withhold all Medicaid funds from Planned Parenthood because they are an abortion provider. Even if someone comes to Planned Parenthood for something that's not abortion, that Planned Parenthood does, which is very few things. But they ruled that South Carolina can defund Planned Parenthood. Now other states will have that opportunity too. So we want to work on that level too.
I'm hearing something like 200 Planned Parenthoods could potentially close around the nation.
Planned Parenthood has already begun to close some facilities in some states, including Michigan. They tried to claim that in Michigan it was because of the defunding situation, but in fact there's no defunding in Michigan. There was a big, huge expose in the New York Times. Can you believe that? In the New York Times, about what kind of poor care Planned Parenthood gives and how badly they treat their employees. And we've had long conversations with people who used to work there. It's a horrible place to work. They refer to the women waiting for abortions as the cattle line, all right? Oh, that's who Planned Parenthood is. They're already shutting down facilities. To see Planned Parenthood have to shut down 200 abortion facilities, because that's where they're killing our children.
Well, states could act on defunding Planned Parenthood through Medicaid, but that's not going to happen in Illinois.
The state of Illinois is so committed to the abortion cause that it's staggering. Even someone like me, who's been watching Illinois slip into a deeper and deeper and deeper radicalism on this issue, is surprised to see how hard they fight. They're trying to make it so that an organization like the Pro-Life Action League, if I wanted to hire somebody, for example, to do like social media outreach, I would not be able to screen out people who were pro-abortion, according to the conscience laws of Illinois. That's how hard they're fighting for the abortion cause. They wouldn't try to force a pro-life organization to hire somebody who's pro-abortion. We have a tremendous fight on our hands here, but I think there might be a silver lining here. Illinois is so extreme that we are starting to hear stories. There was a woman who came to Illinois from Indiana for an abortion that was horrifically botched, and there's a lawsuit going on from that right now. More of these stories are going to start coming out. We're going to have a lot of those stories to share with our fellow Illinoisans, especially as elections happen, to tell them the story of what our abortion radicalism has done to our state, to our unborn children, and to the women that they think they're helping, who they're actually really hurting with this abortion policy that pushes women, especially disadvantaged women, into abortion, which we know very often, in fact, two-thirds of the time, is not what the woman really wants.
It seems as though, and our state officials would deny this, that your only choice, if you're a woman, is abortion. We have to let people know there are different and better choices.
Well, billionaire fat cat Governor J.B. Pritzker certainly thinks that if you're a billionaire, you should have kids. Maybe if you're a millionaire, you could have kids too. But if you're poor, or what he considers poor, you need an abortion. Illinois is one of the worst states in our country for actually supporting pregnant women. We have a very high rate of maternal mortality, especially in Chicago. If you're a black woman on the south side of Chicago, chances are you're pro-life and don't want to kill your baby. But chances are very high that the only alternative you're ever going to be given is abortion. We need homes for unwed mothers. We need housing. We need flexible work hours. We need paternal child care payments. We need prenatal child care payments from dads. There's so much that we could do in our states to help women without even touching the abortion laws. But there's no interest in this state. It's abortion all the time. J.B. Pritzker is inviting women to come from out of state for abortion here. It's a dire situation. They are trying to force pro-life doctors to do abortions, to refer for abortions. We're having to fight them. Abortionists are coming into our state and opening facilities right and left. A new facility just opened in Chicago, the Hope Clinic, that does late-term abortions down in Granite City, is now open and doing abortions up into the 32nd week in abortion, third trimester or all trimester abortions. And there was an article in the Chicago Tribune about it. I was quoted in there, and I thought it a really great opportunity to highlight the extremism here. I think it's going to come out in the coming years, and the people of Illinois are going to be less and less willing to stand back and let the Democrats just force the most radical abortion regime in the entire country onto the land of Lincoln.
Well, the fact that that business opened in Chicago, I think it opened some eyes about the pro-abortion narrative that would always suggest that these late-term abortions are rare and they're really done for just healthcare reasons.
We know from data from the abortion industry itself, the Guttmacher Institute, Planned Parenthood's research arm, that the vast majority of abortions undertaken after 20 weeks are done for the same exact reasons that a woman gets an abortion earlier, because of economic concerns, because she doesn't want a parent, because she's got life goals that it gets in the way of, in her view. They're no different. Even in the cases where there's a fetal anomaly or some kind of a disability, parents are not really being given informed consent. They're not being told what it would be like to parent a child with a disability. They're not being told that that child could be a source of great joy. They're not being told that they can let the child be born and die in their arms loving that child instead of participating in the demise of their own baby. So even in those cases where there is an issue, we are looking at horrible cases of injustice and withholding of information, physicians pushing parents into abortions that they don't really want. The late-term abortion reality in our country is horrific, and most people know it. The vast majority of Americans are opposed to abortions late in pregnancy. And now that we have a clinic in Illinois that's saying that they're willing to go beyond the legal limit in Illinois is viability. They're trying to pretend that viability carries on. It doesn't count at 30 weeks if the woman is depressed or if the child has, Down syndrome, which is not a fatal condition.
How should the pro-life community respond to the situation?
Well, for one thing, we should have the courage to talk to our friends and neighbors. You know, you can share that Chicago Tribune article. That's a secular newspaper. I got the last word in that article, and it's pretty good about how radical things are here. That can be a way of opening a conversation. So have those conversations. Don't be afraid to talk over the backyard fence. Don't be afraid to have that conversation, to put a yard sign up or put a pro-life bumper sticker on your car so maybe someone will talk to you about it. Because people want to talk. And if they know they can talk to you, they'll be able to. We have a book at the Pro-Life Action League called Sharing the Pro-Life Message that helps you to do that. It's packed with all the questions people ask, all the objections they raise. It tells you how to talk to people, gives you advice on communication, activities that you can do. Go to prolifeaction.org and get your copy of Sharing the Pro-Life Message. That's one thing you can do. Just be someone who shares that message. And of course, we pray. We pray because God told us to. We pray to bring our minds into the will of God. We just have to have faith that we are in God's hands and just ask Him to give us a heart to do something about it.
Eric, thank you very much. Let's take a time out. Once again, what's the website for Pro-Life Action League, and how can people get involved?
You can find us at prolifeaction.org. You can find us on social media at Pro-Life Action. We're there to help. We give people concrete things to do to be a voice for the voiceless unborn child and to be an advocate for their mothers who so often are cowed into silence by the people around them that aren't supporting them with what they need.
Well, we'll take that time out and continue our conversation right after this. Join Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. To reserve seats for this very special evening, go to IllinoisFamily.org.
I do get called every name in the book, but what's scarier to me is not standing firm in the truth.
Riley Gaines, a 12-time All-American collegiate swimmer, praised by President Trump for her fight for fairness in women's sports. Like IFI, Riley is advancing truth.
It's actually compassionate to tell the truth. That's what love is.
An evening you don't want to miss. Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. Act fast to reserve seats. Go to IllinoisFamily.org, IllinoisFamily.org. Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. The big, beautiful bill signed into law by President Trump denies organizations that commit abortions access to federal Medicaid funding. According to Planned Parenthood, the loss of taxpayer dollars could lead to the shutdown of 200 of its facilities. Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, spoke with Spotlight during a defunding demonstration he helped organize near the giant Planned Parenthood in Aurora.
Where should the Planned Parenthood money go now? That money will go to federally qualified health centers all across the country. That money will continue to support women and families. So money that Congress has provided for Medicaid services that some of a very small number of which Planned Parenthood provides, they will be able to go to other federally qualified health centers. That money is still allocated to help families, just not through Planned Parenthood. Other doctors, other health centers will get that money.
But Planned Parenthood is saying a lot of women will be denied health care now.
Every woman who walks through the doors of a Planned Parenthood is being denied health care. Planned Parenthood provides almost no health care at all. Most of what they do can't even be qualified as health care because abortion is not health care. Abortion is simply destroying the life of an unborn child, healthfully growing in a woman's healthy body in most cases. So you can't get help with the common cold. You can't get pediatric care, which is the number one concern of most women, is getting health care for their children. You can't get it at Planned Parenthood. And in fact, they tell you you're not allowed to bring your kids here when you come for an appointment. You can get contraceptives, you can get abortion, you can get transgender hormones, and maybe if the day is right, you might be able to get a sexually transmitted disease test. They only do about 1% of the nation's STD tests. Insignificant. Planned Parenthood is not a true health care. They don't even provide mammograms. Part of the most fundamental preventative screenings that women would expect from a healthcare provider. Planned Parenthood is not a true healthcare provider. They're just making that up. Women are going to get better care other places, more broad care. They can bring their kids, their families will be taken care of, and they won't be sold abortions when the time comes for Planned Parenthood to benefit off of their concerns that Planned Parenthood is going to heighten because they're pushing abortion all the time.
Should some of that money now going to Planned Parenthood go to pro-life pregnancy care centers?
A lot of that Medicaid money does go to pro-life health centers. There are qualified pro-life pregnancy centers all over the country, and we're seeing more and more of this. Places that not only provide care surrounding pregnancy and childbirth, but that also begin to provide pediatric care and other things that families need. So defunding Planned Parenthood is actually going to incentivize more and more pro-life centers to reach out and offer more and more services. This could be a great boon for the legitimate, you know, healthcare providers out there that are truly trying to help women and not push them into abortion.
How do they find these pro-life centers?
You go to OptionLine, optionline.org. Heartbeat International is the sort of parent organization that'll put you in touch with thousands of pro-life pregnancy care centers all across the country. If you just Google, pro-life pregnancy care center, you'll find places like Waterleaf Women's Center here in Aurora, Illinois, the Caring Network, the Women's Centers. There's so many. Just in our state of Illinois, there are so many places where women can get help with everything they need when they choose life for their baby.
Surely, the Democrats in Illinois will fight this somehow. How will they do that? Will they make up for the loss of federal funding through the state, through state taxpayers? What will they do?
Yeah, you know, Illinois and J.B. Pritzker and our pro-abortion General Assembly have made it one of their hobbies to take every pro-life measure. If something pro-life passes in South Carolina, they propose something pro-abortion in Illinois. Something pro-life passes in Texas, they propose something pro-abortion in Illinois. Today, I have no doubt that the government of Illinois would try to jump in and protect the Planned Parenthood abortion facilities in Illinois from seeing any effect from that, to the extent that they're able to under the law. We'll have to fight that. It will be a great opportunity. I imagine we would lose a fight like that because the General Assembly is so hardcore pro-abortion. But every time we get to have one of these fights, we educate the people. It's always worth it. Even if we lose the bill, we win when we're able to teach a little bit more of our fellow Illinoisans the truth about Planned Parenthood. Just like this defunding thing. It's decades and decades of work to convince politicians to have the guts for this. It's going to take decades of work possibly here in Illinois. But we get an opportunity to fight better funding for Planned Parenthood from the state of Illinois. Let's take it. Let's run with it to expose Planned Parenthood so we can win in the future. I want to take pro-choice people at their word. They say they believe a woman should have a free choice. Now, I disagree that that choice is legitimate, but if we can convince people that choice matters, then if you're pushing women to get abortions and providing funding for abortion but not providing funding for her to make rent so that she can be a mom, how is that a free choice? If we know that two-thirds of women say abortion is not the first thing that they wanted, if we know that 1 out of 10 women say those abortions were coerced, if we know that poorer women, especially African-American women, tend to have more pro-life views, tend to be more opposed to abortion and not want to be part of it, how are we happy and okay with them getting abortions that they aren't really choosing freely? I think that's an important source of common ground for the people of Illinois. We're going to fight for every unborn child. We're going to fight for every mother. But if we can find huge examples of abortions that all of us agree shouldn't be happening, then we can build on that.
Eric, our legislature taking action to bring in doctors from other states where abortion is banned or restricted. And they're making abortion drugs readily available on college campuses. And I think we feel so overwhelmed that that's the way it is in Illinois. Can't do nothing about it.
Well, some of the laws are so overwhelming, it's just that they don't even make sense. They're so extreme. This bill they've been pushing to require every college campus that has a pharmacy to stock abortion pills. Well, that's not so easy. It's actually kind of hard to get the credentials to dispense those pills. There's only 2 companies that make them. Abortion pills are readily available. It's not as if people are having a hard time. You can order them online. They just make up these false problems. On the one hand, college women are empowered and can get abortions, and even a 15-year-old girl can get an abortion in Illinois without her parents knowing. One of the very few states in our country that's repealed its Parental Notification of Abortion Act, contrary to the wishes of the voters of Illinois, right? This is a state where a 15-year-old is wise enough to get an abortion, but an 18-year-old in college is not wise enough to find an abortion pill. Which is it? They present completely contradictory ideas. 15-year-old women can get abortions, 15-year-old girls can get abortions without parental consent, but 19-year-old girls in college somehow can't find an abortion pill if it's not right there on campus. It's made-up problems. It's all virtue signaling. Our state is, like, devoted to virtue signaling on abortion because it's so extreme that it becomes a platform for us to build on. We can point to the insanity from our General Assembly. You couldn't make this stuff up.
You point to the insanity, and I think if we bring that insanity to the voters, maybe we could pick up some seats in the Illinois House, the Illinois Senate, maybe even in the U.S. Congress. Who knows? Our Christians really need to be proactive in searching out where the candidates stand on these abortion and life issues, assisted suicide and what.
Well, Illinois Family Institute's a great resource for that. I use the Illinois IFI materials every time I go into the polling place so that I know where people stand on the issues that matter to me as a pro-lifer and as a Christian. So that's one really great resource. Let's not forget that it's not only about the government. You know, there's an education process going on here. We can bring abortion rates down in Illinois no matter how bad the laws are. If we're offering help, if we're supporting places like Waterleaf Women's Center just down the block across from Planned Parenthood. So there are proactive things you can do. you can make a gift, you know, to a pregnancy center like that. But absolutely, look into the positions of candidates who are running for office. You can even run for office yourself, even if you know you can't win. It can be an opportunity to highlight and educate the people in your community about the issues, because it's a slow process. It takes years, decades even, sometimes to win a political victory, like this defunding of Planned Parenthood that after years of work, we got to put in the work.
I touched on assisted suicide. We held that off, but surely they're going to try again.
The assisted suicide issue is a fascinating one because it's really hanging in the balance. New York just passed a bill, but several other states rejected some bills, including the state of Illinois this year. And what's really interesting about that battle is it's really being led by the patients' rights folks, who tend to be kind of more on the left. We've been working with them. The Catholic Conference, pro-life organizations throughout the state have been working with more liberal activists in the patients' rights community. And so far, they've been able to show that this is an issue that touches both right and left and that we're against it. So let's thank God for that victory here, but let's pray for states like New York that are about to see how horrific it really is when you start to allow essentially the murder of disabled people who are in despair instead of offering what they really need.
And we have to keep the heat on our lawmakers and tell them, no way do we want this coming to Illinois.
We were able to stop the assisted suicide in Illinois only because people were willing to make phone calls, write letters, visit their representatives and senators, and make their voices known. Otherwise, it would have passed. There's no doubt about it. If you were one of those people who made a phone call on the assisted suicide bill, thank you. Thank you, because you took action. It's a small thing, but it mattered. It made a difference. And lives are being saved in our state because you made that call.
Eric, you're doing great work at the Pro-Life Action League. You need other folks to come alongside. How can folks help?
If you want to help us out by becoming a volunteer for a protest or demonstration, prayer vigil, if you want to get materials from us to help you be a good advocate for unborn children and their mothers, go to prolifeaction.org. You can go to our store. You can go to our Take Action link. You can go to our donate link, whichever one's calling to you, and become a part of this movement with us, prolifeaction.org.
All right, that's Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League based in Chicago. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. I do support the work of Illinois Family Institute. Reminder about our big banquet November 7th with none other than Riley Gaines. If you'd like to come, just go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, click events, or call 708-781-9328. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight, and until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.